The descendants of Abraham, we can read in the, still in the book of Genesis, had to go in because of a terrible famine in the Near East, down to Egypt. And during the following 215 years, they became a nation. But at the end of this period in Egypt, the Egyptians began to oppress the Israelites. They had to work as slaves in Egypt. And now we would like to consider the way of Israel from Egypt to Canaan. You see, according to the strict chronology of the Bible, in the year 1606 BC, Israel was enslaved in Egypt. But then, the 10 plagues came over Egypt as God's judgment. As a consequence of the oppression of Israel. And this led to the destruction of the Egyptian empire at that time. And so the Exodus could take place. The people of Israel went out of Egypt, out of the Nile Delta, where they were living, especially working in Pithom and Ramses city. They had to go through the Red Sea, down into the Sinai Desert to Mount Horeb, before they would go eventually to the land of promise. So the giving of the law at Sinai was very important, because the law was like a mirror, given like a mirror, to prove Israel that they are not able to live according to the standards of God's holiness. The Torah, the 5 books, the first books of the Bible, they are a seal of God's holiness, but given as a mirror to Israel in order to prove nobody is able to live really according to the commandments. Why? Because we are sinners and we possess a sinful nature that reacts when God says, thou shalt. We feel something in us that would just do the opposite. And when God says, thou shalt not, we feel something that would just do what God defended to do. So it is a proof that man is a sinner. But at the same time, with the gift of the law, God gave instructions for the construction of a transportable temple, a mobile temple, the tabernacle. And there people could learn how to get forgiveness. You see, when Israelites realized, I sinned against the commandments of God, they could enter here by this door, which was a veil, by this door and go to the altar and bring a sacrifice. So there was only one access, one door. They learned there is a possibility to go back to God, to this holy God, and to get forgiveness. But you have to enter the only way. There is only one way to God. And they had to confess their sins. Leviticus 5 says, and it shall be when he shall be guilty in one of these things, that he shall confess that he hath sinned in that thing. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord for his sin, which he hath sinned. So, people had to confess their sins, and then to repent, and then an innocent animal had to die in place of the sinner. So Israel learned the principle, redemption by substitution. Another has to die for us. And this was just the illustration of the truth that Abraham already learned. The Lord will provide. And where? In the land of Moriah, the true sacrifice for sin one day will be given. But Israel, from this first stage of the history of this nation, they learned these principles of the gospel: redemption by substitution. They had to go during 40 years through the desert until they arrived in the plains of Moab, just opposite of Jericho, in today's Jordan, on the other side of the Jordan River. And there Moses gave 8 speeches that you can read in the book of Deuteronomy. Here we have a view over Jericho to the mountain of Moab, and there at the foot of the mountains Moses holds his speeches. And he explained after these 40 years in the desert how to apply the commandments of the Torah, of the law of Moses, to the new, absolutely new situation in the promised land. Now, for us, in our context of our subject, it is important what we find in Deuteronomy 12:13. Take heed to thyself that thou offer not thy burnt offerings in every place that thou seest, but in the place which the Lord shall choose in one of thy tribes, there thou shalt offer thy burnt offerings, and there thou shalt do all that I command thee. So Moses explains, God has chosen one place in the promised land, and this will be the place of the offerings. But the name is not mentioned, the name of this spot. So how to know where in the land? And by the way, 21 times you find this expression in Deuteronomy, the place that the Lord shall choose, but no name. 3 times, 7 times, this place is mentioned. So when Israel eventually, after the death of Moses that followed his speeches, when Israel entered with Joshua into the land of promise, they had to seek for a chosen place. Now, the first important event was the conquest of the land under Joshua. The conquest of Joshua was, according to the strict chronology of the Bible, 1566 to 1560, during 6 years. And here you see the walls in Jericho that are dated by secular archaeology to around 1550. This is just the lower part that you can see of the walls from that time, because on top of this lower part there was a second wall of clay that fell outside down. Now, you know, normally secular archaeologists say this is all mythical, because in Jericho we did never find any footprints of the Israelites and their conquest. And you ask, why do you say that? Yes, because in 1240 BC Jericho was no city, and there were even no city walls around. So there was no possibility of the walls of Jericho tumbling down. Yeah? But then you have to ask, why do you choose 1240 BC as date of Joshua's conquest? Yeah, that you can read in every book. Yeah, but that's no proof. Yes, we think that it was in the time of Ramses II.